afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. If I could ask you to take your seats, please. Good afternoon and welcome to the November 27th SACPA meeting. Today we will be having David Eggen speak to us on problems in healthcare. My name is Susan Giffen and I will be your moderator for the day. There are things that we need to clear before we go on with our program. And I would like to remind you that lunch is free, but the privilege of listening to David will cost you $10. So there is a basket on your table, and I would ask that you each put $10 in the basket, and someone at your table count the number of people, multiply by 10, and have that amount of money ready when people come to collect it. SACPA is a volunteer organization, nonprofit, and relies on the contributions of members and session attendees to continue its work. I'd like to acknowledge the partners of SACPA, the University of Lethbridge, who does such a fine job of getting our notices out for us, and Country Kitchens for the lunch that they will provide. Now, our meeting will go as usual. We will have our 25 to 30 minute presentation by our speaker. Then we will break for lunch, at which time you will talk and talk about the problems at hand and come up with solutions and questions. And then we will have a half hour question period or so, and you will go to the mic that is provided at the back, ask your question without too much preamble, and then we will get on, because I have a feeling that today there will be many questions, and we want to give as many people as possible a chance to ask their questions. So, without further ado, let me tell you now about David Eggen. And if you've been listening to the news lately, David Eggen's name has been heard quite a bit just lately. Since June 2008, David has been the executive director of the Friends of Medicare. And Friends of Medicare has been going quite strongly in the province of Alberta, probably since Bill 11 raised its ugly head many years, well, not that many years ago. He was educated at the University of Alberta, where he received a Bachelor of Education degree in 1984. He then spent some time in Zimbabwe, where he taught for 3 years. And after returning to Edmonton, he taught local high schools from 1990 to 2004, at which time he was elected to the Legislative Assembly of Alberta as a New Democrat and took on the shadow critic positions for agricultural and food, environment, kindergarten to grade 12, education, sustainable resource development, and tourism and culture. Hardly a small plate. He would be an expert, I'm sure, in many of those things. And David is going to talk today about some of the controversies raging in Lethbridge. The provincial health authority, Chinook Health, have announced a shift in its approach to long-term care for the elderly, and it plans to close down many long-term care beds at Extendicare next year, and to add more designated assisted living, and it's DAL, and you'll see that little acronym lots in the newspaper. They have roof over their heads, arrangements for meals, but what about the 24-hour on-call medical help that many of them need? So I'm going to call on David now to come and speak to you. Welcome, David. We're glad to have you in the city.
Thanks so much. It was a very kind introduction, and I was going to pay my $10, but then I thought if I am paying to hear myself speak, I probably will go broke during that process. But certainly the organization you have here is remarkable, and I think it should be a model for other towns and cities that aspire to have the diversity and balance and the maturity that Lethbridge has. And I just love coming down here every time. I'm always treated so warmly, and I appreciate that very much. As mentioned as well, of course, I've been in the media perhaps more inadvertently than I had anticipated with the formation of the new super board. And while I felt it was my duty to apply, always it's just like voting, you know, you can't vote and then not complain, and it gives you license to complain afterwards. It was kind of in the same spirit that I applied to the super board. I knew that I probably didn't fit into Mr. Lightbird's model or theme for the board, but I think many other friends of Medicare did apply as well. And while I respect the confidentiality of those individuals, I can tell you there were some absolutely remarkable people across the province, both with healthcare expertise and governance experience, that also did apply, and to which I'm part of that. I'm humbly a part of that very fine company who were not accepted to the super board, and so be it. But as I've said in the media, I'm not wanting to fight this small thing with Mr. Lightbird. There's a much larger issue of the integrity and the future of our public health care system at stake to engage in petty squabbling about that particular issue, although I am concerned that other people might be deterred from applying for board or government positions with an knowledge that perhaps their application would be exposed to the to the public, and so that is my only one concern as it happens. So today I would like to speak just briefly about healthcare in general. My feeling is that probably many of you are more knowledgeable about the Lethbridge situation specifically, and I will acknowledge and take your expertise on that during the question period. It's very important for me to gather accurate information about what's happening in each corner of our province, and I believe here in Lethbridge is a microcosm of what might be exported around the rest of the province in regards to seniors care specifically. And so I've heard it said that there's plans afoot for the Chinookification of seniors care right around the province of Alberta. And while I, as I said, I'm a great admirer of Lethbridge and the Chinook region, certainly I am very skeptical and critical of some of the plans I think we're anticipating for seniors care here and maybe around the province too. So I'm going to leave that more to our discussion section of this day. So most of us have lived our lives covered by Medicare, and so we find it difficult to imagine life without it. Fact is, today Medicare is more in danger than it's ever been since the Canada Health Act was passed into law in 1984. Private for-profit businessmen and insurance companies are at the gates of our province and around the country, and it is the responsibility of all progressive Canadians to become educated on this situation so that we might fight not just to save Medicare, but to strengthen and to expand our healthcare system for the needs of the 21st century. Can you think as well, ladies and gentlemen, a worse time to sell off our public health care system to private providers? Are we willing to give up our most vital public service to private business after what we've seen happen in the money markets and the stock markets around the world today? It seems a ridiculous proposition. We know that there has been problems with our health care policy in this province and around the country, and we have plenty of evidence to confirm these suspicions. We released a groundbreaking report during the federal election on October 6th with the Canadian Health Coalition, of which I am a member, and we laid it quite clearly on the line. Without a serious commitment to strengthen and expand our public health care system, most of us will end up paying more, waiting longer, and getting a whole lot less in the deal. The findings of our study from Eroding Public Health Medicare, Lessons and Consequences, I have copies available to people if they want, I think speak for themselves. 89 suspected violations of the Canada Health Act in 5 provinces, where clinics told our researchers that they would sell queue jumping for fees or user charges that are unaffordable to most people. Many clinics around our province and country are selling unnecessary procedures and tests to their customers who can afford cash payments that range into the thousands of dollars. We also found that in regions with a high density of for-profit clinics or private health care, there is evidence of higher wait times as money and staff is taken out of the public system. And there's also plenty of evidence to suggest higher costs for profit in for-profit seeking clinics. This study shoots a big hole into the mythology of choice and taking pressure off the public system that private medical advocates like to talk about. How many of us can choose to pay $13,000 to $20,000 for knee surgery? Private procedures and private insurance simply cost too much. Why is there a demonstrable increase in wait times where there are concentrations of for-profit clinics in operation? These clinics are siphoning off scarce personnel from local hospitals and the public healthcare system in general. And we can apply this same principle to seniors care as well, and the growth of seniors private for-profit industry. Interestingly, this study also notes that provinces that have experimented with for-profit MRI and CT clinics have found it more efficient to build capacity in their public system and reduce wait times. In Ontario and Manitoba, for-profit cancer treatment and eye surgery clinics have been brought back into the public system where costs have been found to be lower. Canadians know they're better off with a public health care system. Those who seek to dismantle our system know that they face an uphill battle to convince us otherwise. Public health care covers everyone. No one has to worry about whether they can afford the care that they need. It's a tough sell for private clinics to convince us that we should pay more, a lot more, when most of us will just end up with less. Medicare was established in the first place because for-profit clinics were spiraling out of control. It was and still is the most cost-effective way to deliver health care. Canadians should be proud that they led the way to develop a public health model that is universally recognized as being both efficient and socially responsible. Certainly, we need to revise and expand our public health care system to make it better. Both in our report and good old common sense tells us that two-tier for-profit health care is hardly the best way to go. For-profit clinics represent an increasing threat to our pocketbooks and to our health. Our provincial and federal governments should protect our public system, enforce the law, and save us all money by standing up to health entrepreneurs. I'm only asking that our provincial government investigate and enforce the laws that are already set out by the Canada Health Act. We know that in the absence of the enforcement of the law, people are more likely to break the law. That doesn't matter if it's speeding or if it's the Canada Health Act. I don't blame private healthcare entrepreneurs for casting an eye towards Alberta, because they simply have been given, in the absence of enforcement, an opportunity to set up their shop. But at the end of the day, when we start to enforce those laws, where are those private clinics going to be, and where will our public healthcare system be as well? So, the facts are fairly straightforward, and we wanted to shoot down some of the mythology that surrounds the current healthcare situation in this province. And one of the big arguments is affordability. You'll hear it said over and over and over again that our public system is unaffordable, particularly with the growing the demographic of seniors as a result of baby boomers coming to that certain age. Building a strong public system must come down to understanding the value of a dollar. We all know that. How public policy is made. And we must make our case that our public system is, in fact, affordable. the most important fact to argue and to repeat to anyone who will listen, as I'm doing today, is that a single universal payer system is less expensive and more efficient than a private or mixed alternative. Who doesn't know a horror story about someone stuck down in the United States with a medical emergency and not enough health coverage? Here's a sample of the prices today from the free market mixed medical system in the United States right now. Intensive care costs between $8,000 and $10,000 a day. A coronary bypass operation is between $40,000 and $60,000, with ensuing care between $150,000 and $200,000. The average health insurance for a family out of pocket is $11,000 per year in the United States right now. Half of all the personal bankruptcies in the United States are caused by illness or medical bills. Up to about 2 weeks ago, I suppose that number has probably changed. But still, the economic crisis only compounds the inefficiencies of a private or mixed public-private system. Look at all of the P3 contracts that have been so carefully negotiated that are falling apart now because the private part of the public-private partnership can't secure funding from the banks. Let's not fool ourselves. None of us can really afford private health care, and none of us can afford the public health care we have. We need to get the facts straight. There's a lot of misinformation out there, and it's directed at convincing us that we can't afford our public system. I say that's absolute nonsense. The fact is, the Alberta government has gone out of its way to reduce public spending in general. Since 1993, the gross domestic product of this province, which is the measure of all wealth produced here in Alberta, has risen an astounding 4.2% per year, from $30,000 in 1993 to $75,000 per capita last year in 2007. How many of you got your 75 grand last year, by the way? I guess I did, because I was in MLA, but I won't this year. By the way, so during this time, healthcare spending has been pretty much constant as a percentage of the GDP. In fact, Alberta's expenditure on healthcare is low compared to other Canadian and international jurisdictions. We have, in fact, plenty of room to spend more on public health care and easily still balance our budget here in the province. And after all, being the most wealthy province in one of the most wealthy countries in the world, where else do you want to spend your money? I can't think of a better place where you get the best rate of return to improve the quality of people's lives in the most fundamental way than to spend on health care when they need it. There's no doubt that our health care is the single biggest program category of the government's expenditures. However, as I said before, our health care spending in relation to our GDP has been flat. Even more revealing is that our overall public spending in general by the provincial government has been decreasing dramatically from 22% overall in 1993 to 12% last year. This is a 45% reduction in spending in the public sector in proportion to the rest of the economy. To me, this represents an irresponsible and reckless attitude towards governance. It is the abdication of responsibility of the government to actually govern and provide the services that it's responsible for. Fundamentally, this is the question that our public health care system is being framed under. And we all have to remember it very, very carefully every time they tell you that we can't afford our public system. The only public expenditure to actually hold the line and not decrease in such a mean-spirited and destructive manner is health care. And this is because of the hard work by thousands of Albertans who said no way to the third way 4 years ago, and to Bill 11 as well, back in 2001. We've stood up to all the clever and scheming attempts to replace our public health care system with for-profit health care, and we can do it again. The rest of the country looks to Alberta to do so as well, I would venture to say. But still, the Conservatives keep at it. Why? Well, I can tell you it's a strong attachment to ideology, that they have, mixed with a large measure of just setting up friends and businesses to make a lot of money off of private health care. Their ideology says that the free market system will prevail. Unfettered buying and selling of goods and services will lead us all to the promised lands. Tell that to the big banks lining up now for free public money. Or tell that to your RSP and our retirement savings right about now. Or tell that to a patient that lies exposed and vulnerable in a long-term care facility in this province, that somehow it's buyer beware from now on with healthcare, and they should start shopping around for the best healthcare deal if they can afford it. How ridiculous. And so I think it's important for us to reform our public healthcare system, but to reform it under the public structure. We need to be propositional and not be framed as the status quo, same old, get out of the way, here comes the brave new world of private health care. Public health care is meant to evolve and change over time. It wasn't meant to be static. Part of the problem is that we've seen a lack of innovation from the provincial level because they're not committed to that public system. They throw money at it sometimes, they cut it sometimes, but they're not applying a long-term vision of what public health care could be. So as friends of Medicare, I ask you to help me contribute to what that vision can be, and let's build something that we can all be proud of for the future. I have some propositions to put forward to you. For one, we need a public pharmacare plan. Drugs are driving up the cost of health care, and we're not being protected from the big pharmacy corporations because we're not buying in bulk and organizing ourselves accordingly. I would like to see long-term care and more seniors care covered under full protection of our public health care system. Why should someone's long-term seniors care be any different from someone who goes to the hospital with a broken leg? You've got to fix that leg. It's an acute problem. But why would we make a difference to say that feeding and looking after someone in long-term care or in a seniors facility doesn't contribute to their health in any less of an integral way? I would also propose that dental care and vision care and hearing might be part of our public system again. It's interesting to think about all of the pieces of our public system that we've lost over the last 20 or 30 years. Little bits and pieces falling off each time, not covered by the central insurance system. As I said before, we built that insurance system in the first place because it saves money. It's more economical. Every time we hive off some piece like vision or hearing or pharmacy, we find that the prices go up dramatically. Very dramatically. And this is a result of privatization, period. I would say as well, we must expand our public health care system with the use of clinics scattered through our neighborhoods and towns and countryside, organize them around community health, preventative health, and looking to meet the broader needs of our population and make our public system more accessible to everyone when they need it. Phase 2 public health care. This is an idea that came out of the Medicare system and needs to be revived and propagated around the country. Some of these private clinics actually are providing the model of how our public system should look. The only problem is they're charging $4,000 or $8,000 or $10,000 for people to join and access that health care. Have social workers and dietitians and all manner of healthcare professionals available in a clinic, working within the spirit of collegiality and working with the best interests of preventative medicine in mind. You see the effects of the lack of access to acute care here in Lethbridge. There's clinics are far and few between. People are going without a family doctor. I just learned the day before yesterday, I went to visit the mayor, and he was telling me about the North End Clinic, which is in danger of shutting down. The doctor there is just finding it difficult to maintain that level of service. The public system has to be in the neighborhoods where the people are and looking after the healthcare concerns as they arise. This is a good investment. It's not a question of raising the price that we make for public health care, but it's a question of preventative care and looking after our population when they need that health care and make it available to them. I know that there's plans afoot to change our public system here in the province. I've been following it very, very closely. And while we haven't seen substantive changes yet, certainly I know that the idea is to mix the private with the public in a more profound sort of way. It's not a done deal. This is the thing that I've learned about this job since I started in June. As I said, people from across the country look at the model of what Friends of Medicare has done and what the population of Alberta has done to protect and to expand our public system and to fight privatization as it comes up. Friends of Medicare has been in place here for almost 30 years now. We've done an important and valiant service to protect our public system, and never has our position been more important than it is here today. I would ask all of you to become not just public health care advocates, friends of Medicare, but also to talk about these things with your friends, with your family, with the people that you care about and people who will listen to you. It's not a question of us against them, a question of ideology, socioeconomic differences. It's a question of fundamental human health issues that we all share together as a community. How we look after each other and how we look after people in need is a measure of what sort of society and people we are. We take great pride as Canadians, not just Albertans, in these public institutions that look after and care with for our population. It's not a question of ideology. It's a question of sticking together and looking after each other together, and we all come out stronger in the end. And so I look forward to a healthy meal, in keeping with the theme today. I look very much forward to the questions and the slings and arrows that we might have and endorsements that we might have here after lunch. And most of all, I've certainly been looking forward to being up here and speaking. I can't tell you how proud I am to be in front of you here this afternoon. And I am always, as always, at your service, a friend of Medicare, and working hard to ensure that our public system is maintained. Thank you.
Okay, lunch is served, and we will meet again in half hour or so.